is Jason Bell from the NFL Show, and you are listening to the Franchise Tag Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all okay out there. Yep, we have gone into Tier 3 in a lot of areas in the country. It's a bit of a sad time, but don't worry, we've got the NFL to keep us company. Today, I'm probably being not as loud as I usually am. Me and my partner have just got a new cat. Unfortunately, we have to keep her in the same room as I am doing the podcasting. So for me to not scare her and to keep her nice and calm, I'm not going to be maybe as loud as I usually am on other podcasts, but hopefully my subdued tone is still just as entertaining as usual for all you NFL fans out there. So, you know, we are in Tier 3, it's looking a bit dismal, but we get all our Sundays now to watch all the NFL, and in the week you'll have plenty of time to listen to the Franchise Tag Podcast for the old fan, the new fan, and the UK fan. Follow us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram with the Franchise Tag Podcast, and on Twitter with the handle Franchise Tag UK. You can email us on the Franchise Tag Pod at gmail.com, or you can just go onto our DMs within them social media platforms there. You can find our podcast on iTunes Podcast, where you can leave a rating and a review, and we are on Spotify as well. But if you don't have them platforms, you can find all of our episodes on our website, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. We've got a few things to talk about today. We're going to be talking about the Green Bay Packers, a team that isn't really being talked about enough this year in the 2020 season. We're going to look at the teams that have got a better win to loss record as they have now currently compared to the end of the 2019 season. And we're going to discuss which team we think is the most improved. We've got, of course, my favorite section of the week. What do you reckon, Fred? That's going to be coming up. And Andrew is returning with us to his start and sit him in all things fantasy football going into them semi-finals of the playoffs that you're probably in your fantasy league. So we're going to start off with the Green Bay Packers. And we're going to start with maybe what was the backlash of Aaron Rodgers with the Green Bay Packers, and also discuss why they're not being talked about enough, considering that they are a top team now in the NFL. So, of course, at the beginning of the season, all we talked about was how well Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers will do this season. There was obviously massive speculation around Green Bay about how well they can do. And it all started off really in April, in the draft. Because in April, Green Bay Packers moved up from number 30 in the 2020 draft to number 26, a trade that happened with the Miami Dolphins to go and pick the Utah State quarterback, Jordan Love, which was obscene at the time. No one knew really why they did that. There was a lot of anger, a lot of confusion that surrounded the pick from the Green Bay Packer faithful fans, and also from other NFL fans as well, who wanted to see the Green Bay Packers really push on to the Super Bowl after, you know, going 13-3 in 2019 under their new head coach, Matt LaFleur, in his first year, and they go to the NFC Championship. Okay, they got humiliated in the NFC Championship by the San Francisco 49ers, 37-20. But they still got the NFC Championship. What were they playing at? Picking a quarterback, moving up, especially in the 2020 draft, to pick a quarterback when Aaron Rodgers still has 2 years left of his, well, 2 to 3 years left of his 4-year deal that he signed his extension in the 2018. So, you know, year two, and you just went to the NFC Championship. Surely this year would be the one to push the Super Bowl. And it was seemed crazy that they took Jordan Love and didn't get an extra weapon for Aaron Rodgers, because the future Hall of Famer, he needs that extra weapon, I think, before he maybe even retires or regresses to push them through into the Super Bowl. But this wasn't to be the case. It was a controversial pick. And of course, then this set rumors off that Aaron Rodgers could be on the move, could be traded, that he wasn't in the plans for the future for the Green Bay Packers. And also, we questioned his relationship with Matt LaFleur. Why would Matt LaFleur go and pick a quarterback in the first round, and not even just pick a quarterback in the first round, move up to pick a quarterback when you've got Aaron Rodgers, a Hall of Famer, a player that has been so good for the Green Bay Packers for so many years? Aaron Rodgers always said he wants to retire a Packer, and this seems now uncertain due to the Love pick and also the fact that they've not drafted a first-round skill position player since 2002, where they drafted Javon Walker, the wide receiver. And that was even before Aaron Rodgers got there. Rodgers was drafted in 2005. So 3 years before Aaron Rodgers was even there was the last skilled position player on the offense that they've taken in 2002. How crazy is that? So, of course, then came the narrative of, well, how does Aaron Rodgers react to this? He, of course, said all the right things in the media. I argue that Aaron Rodgers doesn't always say the right things in the media. He said he made a couple of shady comments about, you know, it would have been nice to add another player, a wide receiver, a tight end, maybe. The concentration has been on the defense for so long for the Green Bay Packers in the first round and in a lot of the drafts. And Rodgers has been left with not much. I mean, Davante Adams is, of course, top three wide receiver. And the relationship that him and Rodgers have this year is just incredible. But there's no one really outside of that. So there was this narrative of, well, what does Aaron Rodgers do now? How does he react? Is he going to, you know, stick his middle finger up at the organization and be like, well, you're not supporting me, so I'm not supporting you? Leave the door open for Jordan Love to play, maybe? Or does he come back with a fire under his belly that people doubt him and that you've angered him? Because we all know an angry Aaron Rodgers is a spectacular Aaron Rodgers to watch play. He's a spectacular player to watch play in any scenario. But when you get him on the back foot and aggressive, that's when he can make magic happen. And he's showing it this in 2020. He's really shown it this year. He still isn't done. We can tell that. And the fact that the Green Bay Packers, like I said, is still a major player when it comes to Super Bowl now, when it comes to Super Bowl predictions now, they have got to be in the conversation for this year because they're playing around that level. And Aaron Rodgers is still showing, even though this quarterback got picked, and it feels like maybe they're starting to think about moving up Aaron Rodgers. But clearly, when watching him week on week this year, this guy's still got it all. He is not regressing. He's moving forward. Maybe that's because someone's angered him within the organization, i.e. the pick with Jordan Love. I feel sorry for Jordan Love in a way, because he was subject to being, you know, had a go at, I suppose. You know, we shouldn't have picked you. We should be picking a skill position for Aaron Rodgers. You're pushing Aaron Rodgers out. And he's like, man, I just got picked. I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I just want to go and play in the NFL and play ball. Unfortunately, he was pushed into a corner really with this. But Aaron Rodgers has just shown here in 2020 that the Green Bay Packers have got to be in the conversation for the Super Bowl in February. He is 312 completions of 448 attempts. That's 10th in the league in completions and 12th in attempts. Has a completion percentage of 69.6%, which is 4th in the NFL. 3,685 yards. He's thrown 4th in the NFL as well. 39 touchdowns, which is 1st in the NFL. He only has 4 interceptions, which is 34th. And to put in that context, he has the same amount of interceptions as Dak Prescott and Brett Ripien. Dak Prescott obviously been injured for most of the season now over the Dallas Cowboys, and Brett Ripien has played for Denver a handful of times. It shows just how elite he is. He's only been sacked 13 times as well. So it shows that the Green Bay Packers offensive line is really protecting him and is giving the opportunity for him to be great. He's not getting too much pressure on it. And this season will probably match and extend on his 2019 season, which was a really good statistical line season anyway. And he's going to absolutely break his record for the most touchdowns he's ever got in a single season. His most he's got so far is 40 in 2016. And he's currently on 39. So I actually believe that the future Hall of Famer here, Rodgers, is not getting the credit he deserves this year. When we're talking about MVP level success, when we're talking about Russell Wilson, people started talking about Kyler Murray. I'm not shone away from the fact that I think Russell Wilson is the MVP of this year. But I do believe Aaron Rodgers has to be in the conversation and hasn't been in the conversation enough times amongst NFL analysts and the NFL media and the podcast world as well. He's not being talked enough. He's certainly an MVP caliber player. And you've got to remind yourself as well. Yeah, Russell Wilson, I believe, is the MVP. But look who he's got. I mean, Chris Carson's a pretty good player in the running game. I know he's been injured a lot this year. But he's got Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. Even his third-string, fourth-string receivers are pretty decent. He has an all-right tight end. And what does Rodgers have? I mean, he has one elite receiver and a bunch of nobodies everywhere else. Davante Adams is an elite receiver. He is a top three receiver in the league now. He is so good. That partnership between him and Aaron Rodgers, I think, is the best quarterback to wide receiver relationship in the NFL at the minute. I don't think there's any argument about that. Adams got 91 receptions for 1,144 yards and 14 touchdowns, which is first in the NFL alongside Tyreek Hill at the Kansas City Chiefs. He's sixth in the amount of yards and fourth in receptions. And he's also missed two games. So their numbers are crazy for Davante Adams. He's really putting offensive player of the year numbers there. And then outside of that, you've got Marcus Valdes-Scantling, 31 receptions, 603 yards, five touchdowns. Robert Tonyan, the tight end, the rookie tight end, who is actually having a pretty quietly superb year as well. 46 receptions, 533 yards, nine touchdowns. Not bad there. Alan Lazard, really? 24 receptions, 364 yards, three touchdowns. Who is there outside of Davante Adams? And yet Aaron Rodgers is still winning games and is in the MVP argument because he is that good. You could argue under this info, it surely is easy to work out Aaron Rodgers' game plan. Because in the air, he's only fighting Davante Adams. You can see that from the stat lines and you can see that visually when watching games. But yet, teams know what's going to happen. Rodgers to Adams. We always hear it. Rodgers to Adams. Touchdown. They know it's going to happen. It's like Derrick Henry running in Tennessee, and it's like Lamar Jackson's running play in Baltimore. You know what's going to happen, and yet they can't be stopped. They're 10-3 now. They've scored 30 plus in 10 out of 13 games, which means they've won the NFC North and they've definitely sealed a playoff spot. That's been confirmed as of last weekend. But Aaron Rodgers is not ready to slow down, and he's proven it every time on the field. He's always. He's also fortunate to have a good run game alongside, which means that alleviates the pressure of having to throw the ball all the time, something that I find is a massive problem being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. We have no run game, therefore all of it is on Big Ben, and he throws 50-plus times at his age every game. That's not sustainable. Whereas Aaron Rodgers has got sustainability here because he's got equally a very good run game in Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones, 160 attempts, that's 14th in the league, for 823 yards, that's 9th in the league. 7 touchdowns, which is 12th in the league, and for averaging 5.1 yards per carry, which is 7th in the league. And then Jamal Williams having an equally okay year as a second string running back, 113 attempts for 473 yards, 2 touchdowns, and averaging 4.2 yards per carry. Having that complementary run game, really, and that split, and that cohesiveness really means that Aaron Rodgers will have continued success for a long time. And he's not being over-relied on, like we were just saying. And what means there is that they can now sustain that sort of game plan for a very long time, and meaning that he can play for a lot longer. He's not going to regress for a long time. He's easily going to play out his contract. He wants to retire a Packer. So amidst what happened in April, he is proving that I'm not going anywhere. I shouldn't be going anywhere. I'm an elite quarterback. I'm the top three quarterback in the league, if not the best quarterback in the league at the minute. He is sticking it to a lot of people that doubt Aaron Rodgers and have doubted him and were maybe in agreement that they should have picked the quarterback in the draft. And whether that's the flame that's been under his belly, therefore, with the Jordan Love pick, therefore, he's playing to this elite level with the anger, the aggression of it, showing and proving that he can still be successful within this Green Bay Packer organization. I don't know. Maybe he's just that good every year. And really, if you look at the stats of it, this isn't a crazy year for Aaron Rodgers. It's a continuation of how elite he has been for a very long time. And if A-Rod really wants a Super Bowl this year or in the next coming years, before his contract is over, the thing with Green Bay now and his contract, and we'll move off of Aaron Rodgers and onto the Green Bay Packer team in general, is their defense. Their defense really does need improvement. Now, I don't think they're a bad defense at all. I think a lot of people think they're not good or overrated or etc. I don't believe it. I think they are a pretty sound defense. I think there is improvement there. I think they're young for the most part. And Matt LaFleur is just still trying to figure out what to do with them, I think. They've drafted heavy on defense for numerous years, and it's maybe not on the level it should be with investing that much draft stock and free agency into that defense. But they have got some awesome players on that side of the ball. Jair Alexander, the cornerback, Za'Darius Smith, the linebacker, Kenny Clark, the defensive tackle. I mean, overall, they do need to improve, but the bones are there for this defense to be really impressive. And this is only going to help Aaron Rodgers, hopefully, moving forward and maybe push them to that Super Bowl. The problem is they have conceded 20-plus in 10 games now. They've allowed 4,364 total yards, which is the eighth best. That's a really good stat line there. They do only have 13 takeaways, which is poor. That's 27th in the league. They do need to turn the ball over more. And when you look at the pass versus the rush, I mean, 2,938 passing yards have allowed, which is 12th highest. That's not bad at all. 22 touchdowns, 18th, not great. They're eighth in interceptions, which isn't good as well. You know, we talk about takeaways, interceptions, that they are struggling at doing that. They've only allowed for 1,426 rushing yards, which is 11th, and 13 touchdowns, which is 18th. Stat-wise, that's not bad. This defense is not bad. It's not incredible. It's not Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not other defenses that are very, very highly sought after. The bones are there for this defense to be really good for a very long time, and they really need to support Aaron Rodgers. And I think they are doing that. I don't think this bad. Like I said, I don't think this defense is bad. I just think it actually needs to just take that next step, and they just need to rise that little bit more from being okay good to being really good. And they need to elevate themselves, because if they elevate themselves, that puts less pressure on Aaron Rodgers when he is on the offense to having to be superb all the time and having to go and win games, which I think Green Bay is a little guilty of at times, is the over-reliance on Aaron Rodgers. And if he wants to preserve his career for a very long time, and if Green Bay want to preserve Aaron Rodgers as well, they need to improve their defense to keep the defense on the field and to stop teams progressing, and for their offense to be able to get that big lead but not be having to chase after the lead once the defense comes on and allows points. And if they want to get to the playoffs, well, they are going to the playoffs. We all know that now. But if they want success in the playoffs, if they want to get back to the NFC Championship or even get to that Super Bowl, they really do need to step up in the playoffs. They really need to go up that next gear. Because for one, there's a lot of very, very good teams who are going to be going into the playoffs. And also, they don't want another humiliation like they did in the NFC Championship. And for all this said and done, it was humiliating. The NFC Championship for 2019, San Francisco's 49ers defense ran the show in that game. Rodgers was not great. I mean, the Green Bay team was awful. 49ers were dominant in that game, and it was a humiliation. They thoroughly deserved to go to the Super Bowl that day. And but they will find that next gear. That is going to happen, and they could really be possibly a Super Bowl team here. I don't think they do get talked enough about the Green Bay Packers, especially this year. It is a small market team. Wisconsin's small. They are the be-all and end-all in Wisconsin, but they maybe don't have the history that other teams have, even though, you know, you have got Brett Favre and history like that of Green Bay. But it is a small market team. It's cold in Wisconsin. Free agents don't want to go there. It's not that accessible. It's not exactly Florida or California, you know, with LA and San Francisco or New York or Miami, these big coastal cities. This is a mid-region, cold, hard climate team there. So maybe aren't the most attractive, therefore don't get talked enough much. But they've been an elite team now for a few years. And at this point, when you're looking at the NFC East, I do not believe now it is out of the question that they can clinch the top spot. They've only got the Panthers, the Titans, and Chicago Bears left to play. They could beat the Panthers. I think the Titans will be a strong game. I think that might be a revealing game of how well they can do against bigger teams. And Chicago, I think they should be beating Chicago. Though Chicago, I have been pushing for that playoff spot, and are probably going to be desperate to get it. I mean, if Green Bay have sealed the first round by this point, which could be probable, then they may lose to Chicago because they might rest all their starters. Which then, that's fine. That's okay. They're still getting the first round bye and they're still going to the playoffs. So it doesn't really matter if you lose that last game of the season. But then you've got very good teams still putting pressure on for that top spot to get that first round bye. The Saints are 10-3. They've got the Chiefs, the Vikings, and the Panthers left to play. I think they'll lose to the Chiefs, but Vikings and Panthers games, they will probably win. Obviously, without Drew Brees for a little bit longer. It's rumoured that he's meant to be coming back this weekend. However, I don't feel like they think there's any rush to play him. The Rams are sneakily challenging there, 9-4. They've got the Jets, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals to close out the season. They're in the conversation for pushing. And so the Seattle Seahawks, they've got 9-4 as well. They've got Washington, the Rams, and the 49ers left to play. But all three of them teams could outright win all three of their games. The Saints, I think, are the least likely to do that. I think they will lose to the Chiefs. I like the Panthers more than people give them credit for. The Rams will beat the Jets, obviously. That Seattle Rams game is going to be everything about who tops this division and who could maybe challenge for that first round bye as well. But if they do get the bye, the Green Bay Packers, I can't see no reason why Green Bay can't go all the way to the Super Bowl. And yeah, it will be a tough run. Of course it will. Playoffs are tough. It is difficult. You have to have grit, and you have to have determination, and you have to have a little bit of luck on your side as well. But they surely could. The question does slightly remain, though. If they don't get to the Super Bowl, or even if they don't make, or even if they do just make the NFC Championship but don't get the Super Bowl, I think the question is still going to be there. What is next for this Green Bay team? What is next for Aaron Rodgers? Because first year Matt LaFleur, 13-3, took Aaron Rodgers to the NFC Championship, got humiliated. Aaron Rodgers is an expensive player. They go this year, they don't make the Super Bowl. Let's say they make the NFC Championship. Is that the ceiling now? Is that as good as it can be? Because there's not that many years left with Aaron Rodgers. So there's three, admittedly. But is LaFleur thinking, well, yeah, you are on a lot of money, Aaron. We have just drafted a first-round quarterback that I do believe in, I do trust, and we can use that money that we're spending on you elsewhere to improve this team, to actually push for a Super Bowl. If he believes in Jordan Love enough, that could be a question that Green Bay organization may start asking themselves. I think it would be stupid of them to do that. I think Aaron Rodgers and his team could easily still make Super Bowl in the next 3 years after his contract. I think they should push for that. The problem being, though, is with Aaron Rodgers played to the end of his contract, Jordan Love's contract then becomes under the microscope very, very quickly. Within about a year, maybe 2 years, you will have to start paying him big after that. So do they start the rebuild now, only that Aaron Rodgers can take you only X far, whether it be the NFC Championship or just the playoffs? Or do you go, well, we nearly made it again, we just need one or two more pieces this offseason, and we're definitely a Super Bowl team? But from the history that we can see, and what people around, and what myself, what analysts, or the NFL media, or NFL fans think about it, the Green Bay Packers have had a lot of opportunities to get the pieces that Aaron Rodgers needs and that the Green Bay Packers need to push them into the Super Bowl picture once and for all. And it hasn't happened for a few years now. So where does it go from here? Because clearly they are not getting in the weapons that Aaron Rodgers needs and the pieces that they do need to push into the Super Bowl. So is it time then for the rebuild? Because we know we can only go this far with this team. It's a question. It's an interesting question for Green Bay to ask themselves at the end of the season. If they make the Super Bowl, I think they roll with Rodgers till the end of his contract. I don't think there is no reason why you would then move off of Aaron Rodgers. I can't see the point of that. And I believe even if you don't get to the Super Bowl, there is no point moving off of Aaron Rodgers. But it is a question for Green Bay, maybe ask themselves when it comes to February. Right, we're going to be talking about the improving teams in the NFL next, and also Andrew will be returning with his fantasy football section. Of course, what you reckon, Fred, coming very soon. I hope my lower tone is not making you fall asleep. I hope you're still finding this interesting. It is a bit different for me, but you know, gotta keep the cat happy, hey? We'll be back right after the break. Okay, so what we're going to look at here is who do we think is the most improved team via the wins to loss ratio from 2019 to now in 2020? Now, the records, obviously, that we've got from 2019 are the final end of the season records. And the records we've got now are only what we've got with week 15 now. So we're three games missing from the end of the year. So I've whittled it down to these teams via wins and losses for the most improved team. So we have the Washington football team, who at the end of the year went 3-13, who are now currently at 6-7. We have the Arizona Cardinals, who went 5-10-1 at the end of 2019. They are currently 7-6. That's the NFC ones done. They're all the rest are AFC. We have the Miami Dolphins at 5-11 in 2019 and currently at 8-5 in 2020. The Colts, who went 7-9 for the season last year, are now currently 9-4. We have the Steelers, who were 8-8 in 2019 and currently 11-2. The Browns, they finished their 2019 6-10. They are currently 9-4. Now, let's have a look at the NFC teams to start with, and let's have a look at all of them overall, and then let's pick who I believe is the most improved team here. So we have Washington football team, currently 6-7. They still have got to play the Seattle Seahawks, the Carolina Panthers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. They could maybe go 9-7, or they could go 6-10. Personally, I think they go 7-9. I think they lose to the Seahawks. I think they lose to the Panthers. However, I do think they'll beat the Eagles in the last game of the season there. So 7-9 from 3-13. I mean, what a turnaround that is. What a turnaround. I think the stability of Ron Rivera, though he was ill earlier in this year, has really helped this organization. The defense is outstanding. I think it is the best young front seven in the NFL today. I'm so excited about how much this defense and this team can improve in the future. They are going to have a very big 2021 draft. They really need to sort out their quarterback situation and just get a couple of more offensive pieces to work with. But that defense looks really set to me. Looks really, really set. I think maybe a cornerback or maybe a safety, and they would really jump to that elite level. But a lot of the, you know, Chase Young, what, the defensive rookie of the year for sure. Maybe you could argue Julian Blackman, Antoine Winfield at the Bucks, they've been very good. But Chase Young for me has really, really brought it for Washington. And that defense is so good, and they should be really proud of themselves that they've been able to turn around what was really a really dismal season last year and have really shown that they are true contenders to win the NFC East here in 2020. Next to the Arizona Cardinals, they're currently 7-6. They did finish the season 5-10-1 last year. Now, they have got the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Francisco 49ers, and the LA Rams left to play. They could go either 10-6 or 7-9 at the end of the year. Personally, I think they go 9-7. I think they beat the Eagles. I think they beat the 49ers. I think they lose to the Rams. The second year here for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray have really shown that this team is a really serious team for the future. Kyler Murray has been outstanding, and they've really got something going on between them here. Kyler is still making a couple of mistakes and has a lot of developing to do, but I think he's getting there. Like, I really do. They just need one or two more weapons. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins has been outstanding there. They maybe need another, a better second wide receiver outside Larry Fitzgerald or Christian Kirk, really. The defense has got some names on it and has got some good players, but I think it just needs a little improving. I think they just need to spit in the scheme a little bit more. But with the actual whole offseason in 2021, this team could be awesome. I think this is the most exciting team for 2021, next to maybe the Denver Broncos if they get the quarterback right and they have a fully strength team. Cards have had a few injuries, but significantly to like Chandler Jones. They are on their way to getting the next step up, and they are a really exciting team. A team that I've been very hot on to make the playoffs for the whole year. They might miss out now, but I think they are a really fun team for the future. When you look at the AFC, the Dolphins are 8-5 currently. They went 5-11 last year. They've got the New England Patriots, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Buffalo Bills to play still. They could either go 11-5 or 8-8. I think they go 10-6. I think they beat the Patriots, and I think they beat the Raiders, and I think they will lose the Bills in the last game of the year, pending if the Bills have got that playoff spot firmly set in. If they have, then maybe they win and maybe they could go 11-5. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But this was always the plan for this Miami Dolphins team. It has really, really come along. They were 5-11 last year, but we saw the qualities. We saw the positives of what was coming from this team. And they're doing it again this year. They're now with Tua coming in. That is an exciting future for them to have. This team is improving. They have got some very good pieces. Their defense has looked really good this year. I do think they bought good players in. They maybe bought plays in on the wrong side of the age bracket. I think they do need to target some younger guys going forward. But they have the base here. Brian Flores has done an exceptional job, the head coach. They have a real base here to be a very good team going forward in the future. And they've really turned it around this year and really turned it on and beat some big teams as well. The Indianapolis Colts are 9-4 currently this year, went 7-9 last year. They've still got the Houston Texans, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Jacksonville Jaguars left to play. They could go 12-4 or 9-7. Personally, I think they go 11-5. I think they beat the Texans. I think they lose the Steelers, and I think they beat the Jags. It shows that when they have an actual starting experienced quarterback, this team is pretty decent. Their defense has been awesome, though. Their defense has been way better than their offense. I think a lot of people could have told you that before the season started, that this defense was going to be very good. It's continually being good. I do think that it isn't sustainable with Philip Rivers at quarterback. I think they are going to have to look at drafting a quarterback for the future, or maybe trading for one. I mean, there was a very, very fun conversation I had with Andrew the other day about what if the Indianapolis Colts traded for Carson Wentz, for example. That could be a very real trade that could happen, and one that maybe people should keep their ears out for, considering the turmoil that Carson Wentz is having over in Philadelphia. This team could be a lot better. Could be a lot better. Though they've gone 9-4 this year so far, I think they should be actually a better record, which sounds really stupid, but not because 9-4 is a really good record. But this team could have easily gone on a very good unbeaten run if they just had a better quarterback, I think. I did say at the start of the year that though I think everyone was very in love with Phil Rivers going to the Colts, but then I don't think anyone took a step back to go, is this actually going to work? Is Phil Rivers actually that good a quarterback? He had a poor few last years in LA. Is this really the answer? Now, I think it's been a good stop and a good stepping stone for them to the future. But this Colts team, I think it could still be better than the record shows at the minute. We then have the Pittsburgh Steelers, my team. 11-2, they've got the Cincinnati Bengals, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Cleveland Browns left to play. Now, they could go 14-2 or 11-5. Now, I do think they will go 14-2. I think they have everything to beat the Bengals, the Colts, and the Browns. The only thing is, I think they beat the Bengals. I think there is very easily a way that they could lose the Colts and the Browns as well. I think that Browns-Steelers game is going to be really interesting the last day of the season. That could decide who wins the division and who could maybe even get to the playoffs. I admit, even as a Steelers fan, this team is all defense. That defense is just incredible. That's their bread and butter now. And it does show with their record this year compared to last year where they were 8-8 at the end of the year. But under an actual quarterback with Big Ben Roethlisberger there, they are a good team. But their offense still isn't dynamic enough. The run game has been really poor. They do have a next step to go. Even though they've gone 11-2, they have had a fairly easy schedule. But there is another step to this team. It's not going to be sustained under Ben Roethlisberger, unfortunately. But it does have a next step to go. If they can keep this defense and then get some more dynamic weapons on the offensive side, this team is a team that could do a lot better in the future. I know 11-2 is a fantastic record. Let's not lie, 11-2 is bloated, the record there. They could have lost to quite a few teams. Being a Steelers fan, I've watched every game. I know how close it has been in some games. It's 11-2. It could easily be 9-4, easily. So then we've gone to the Cleveland Browns, who are 9-4, who went at the end of last season 6-10. They've got the New York Giants, the New York Jets, and the Pittsburgh Steelers left to play. Now, they could go 12-4 or 9-7. I think they go 11-5. I think they beat the Giants, they beat the Jets, and I think they lose to the Steelers again, though. What a close game that may be. Some say overrated about the Cleveland Browns, some say overhyped. I think they're actually underrated. I think you can't deny the vast improvement they've had under new head coach Kevin Stefanski. The team now has an identity. Yeah, it may not be an identity that everyone likes, which is running the ball, getting Baker to throw less. Yeah, that's not an identity you might like, considering you drafted him with the number one pick, the number one overall pick in the draft when they got him in, 2018 now or 2017? Yeah, that's not who you are. You are not going to be throwing the ball a load. You are going to be using the running game a lot more. But I think this team now has an identity and a defense which is really, really good as well. The AFC North has just such good defenses in the Steelers, the Browns, and the Ravens as well, and some very good offenses as well. And when Joe Burrow is back, it's going to be a fourth good offense going into 2021. So let's have a look over here. We've got Dolphins, the Colts, the Steelers, and the Browns on the AFC side of things. We've got Washington football team and the Cardinals on the NFC side of things. For me, I think the most improved team has got to be the Washington football team. I think they have really turned it around with a mixture of quarterbacks and an offense that isn't dynamic. Yes, the Cardinals, these teams have all improved. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think anyone would have said Washington would get 6 wins in 2020. I think everyone would have laughed at that. So that's why I think they're most proven. I think we could have said at the start of the year the Cardinals are going to be competitive. At the start of the year, we could have said the Dolphins are going to be competitive because they looked good last year. The Colts, they got quarterback. They're going to be competitive. The Steelers, they've actually got Ben Roethlisberger back. They're going to be competitive. The Browns didn't look actually all that bad last year and had a joke of a head coach and got a legit coach going on there now and legit players. I think though all these teams have improved via their wins and loss record from 2019 to 2020. Now, I have missed some teams out because there is only one win to one loss in it. From 1 year to the next, I don't think that's significant enough for us to see as most improved when really it comes down to the last 3 games, whether they will have a better record than they ended on last year. Now, they could by easily by 3 games, but we just don't know that for certain. But when you look at overall, Washington is the most improved team. Their defense has been on fire this year. They have the best young front 7 in the league. If they get the quarterback right, they have an all right offense. Their running game's not been bad with Antonio Gibson, who the rookie running back from this year. Terry McLaurin's still looking good. Larry Thomas isn't a bad tight end. They've not got loads of everything outside wide receiver, but you know they can go and get that. They can definitely go and get that. Their offensive line isn't bad. Alex Smith has been okay, I suppose. They've clearly not got a quarterback. They don't know who they're going to be starting next year. They've got Kyle Allen, who went down injured. They've got Alex Smith, who is a shell of his former self, but has won some games. And they've got Dwayne Haskins, who they seem to be absolutely last resort, not wanting to use. So for me, the Washington football team is the most improved team. And they are going to be a team that is really, really interesting to watch in 2021. And I'm very excited to see the future for them and for the NFC East, which has been a poor division this year up until like last week. And now it's gone a bit more interesting again. Right after the break, we've got Andrew's start and sit and coming up for them semi-finals and quarterfinals that you do have in fantasy football. That is coming up right after the break.
Hello and welcome to the fantasy section of the Franchise Tag Pod with me, your fantasy host, Andrew. For most of you, it's probably playoff time for a lot of your leagues. Really hope you're in that top half of the bracket and you're playing for the championship and you're not in for the wooden spoon. But either way, there's all to play for regardless of where you are. No one wants to finish bottom. So let me give you some sit 'em start 'ems this week and hopefully help you win your game. I think most of you are already pretty set on your teams. You've picked up all my players that I've told you to. You're doing well. So I won't go over any waiver wire targets this week because I don't want to fiddle around with your team too much. So it's just a case of getting the best out of what you've got on your team. So here's your sit and starts. First up for your quarterbacks, it's a must start for a name that's usually a must start every season. But this year he's been a bit uneven. It's Tom Brady versus the Atlanta Falcons. I think he bounced back well after the bye week, after his 2-game losing streak with a nice win against the Minnesota Vikings. And they've got 2 really nice fixtures coming up against the Atlanta Falcons this week and the Detroit Lions next week. I think we're going to see Tom Brady really pushing for those 2 wins. And I think this way you're going to see him come to his usual form coming into the playoffs. That's usually when we see him get hot. And Atlanta Falcons is the perfect game for him to find that hot streak. So he's definitely a must start for me, especially with all of his weapons being back and fit and he's connecting a lot more with Rob Gronkowski. So he's a must start. My next must start is Ben Roethlisberger going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. again, he's a player that I've seen on a lot of benches over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Has he struggled to score high in fantasy points? There's been a lot of talk of whether the Steelers are as good as what they have been all year. I think this is a good game to answer those critics and come out and really put away the Bengals and win this massive win. We know that they rely heavily on Ben throwing the ball, so he's definitely going to be in the fantasy points this week. Okay, on to your sit-ems for the quarterback position. First up is Cam Newton versus the Miami Dolphins. As we've seen in the second half of this season, the Miami Dolphins defense has been absolutely on fire. They're getting to quarterbacks, they're forcing fumbles and sacks, and they're even getting the interceptions in the backfield. They're looking like a strong unit. And at times when there's been pressure on this New England Patriots offense, they've really struggled. Cam Newton has struggled as well, not being able to get over 120 yards in his last three games through the air. So I think we're going to see a lot of pressure on him. I think you're going to see him make mistakes. So he's a definite sit for me this week. If they are really struggling with no playoff hopes really left for them, I think we may even see Jared Stidham come in for him later on in the game. Okay, my next sit at the quarterback position is Alex Smith going up against the Seattle Seahawks. I think we're hearing that there's potentially is going to play despite leaving last game with an injury. So monitor that one before Sunday just in case. But either way, if he does start, I think he's definitely a sit. Despite the Washington football team being on a bit of a win streak at the moment, I think that's mainly come from how good their defense is and how much they've got out of their run game. So going up against a tough Seattle team, which defense seems like it's getting itself back to its normal conditions, he's definitely a sit for me this week. Okay, on to your running backs. First up at the start position, I have Cam Akers, running back for the Los Angeles Rams going up against the New York Jets. He's had a bit of a tough year with injuries, getting off to a bit of a slow start, challenging with Henderson and Brown, who both played well. But finally, we're seeing how good this rookie is. Someone who I thought was going to come into that team, cement his place and be one of the best rookie running backs of the year. We're finally seeing what his magic. I think we're going to see him pick up from where he left off against New England. And with that dangerous offense they've got with throwing the ball, he's always going to be a danger, handing it off to him for a run. So he's a must start for me this week. Okay, my next must start at the running back position is Miles Sanders, running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Last week, we saw a very different Philadelphia offense with them putting in Jalen Hurts to go in at quarterback. With how much of a danger that quarterback is, with how good his feet are, I think that only improves the value of Miles Sanders. They're now not one-dimensional of Carson Wentz throw or Miles Sanders run, and there's a bit more mystery about what they're going to do. So it really improves Miles Sanders' value. He's good out of the backfield on the catch as well. So I think, yeah, he's going to have a really, really good game. He's the first player to go over 100 yards against that Saints defense. The Eagles also aren't out of that race for the playoffs in their poor division. They've got a couple of good matchups, so I can see them really pushing for a win here and him having a big game. Okay, my sit-ems at the running back position. First up is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going up against the New Orleans Saints. As I've just said, we know the New Orleans Saints know how to stop the run. So I think this Chiefs offense are going to come out very throw-heavy with how good Patrick Mahomes is and maybe use him out of the pocket a bit more rather than a big run game push. So I think we're going to see a decrease in value just this week for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So he's a sit for me this week. Okay, my next sit at the running back position is Giovanni Bernard going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know a lot of people picked him up thinking he was going to fill in for Joe Mixon really well and have a good season with the Bengals again. But I don't think we've seen him put any valuable fantasy figures up since about week 8. And yet again, he's really struggled, and we really, really struggle against Cowboys, even dropping the ball on the floor and virtually making him bench for the rest of the game. He's got another real hard matchup going against that really tough Steelers defense. So he's a sit for me this week. Okay, on to your wide receivers. My first start at the wide receiver position this week is T.Y. Hilton going up against the Houston Texans. I think he was probably one of the high draft picks for everyone, and he's been sat on everyone's bench all year with how unproductive he's been in that Colts offense. But we've finally seen the old T.Y. Hilton that we know and love over the last 3 weeks. It seems like everything Philip Rivers throws at him at the minute just sticks. So he's having a really good back end of the year and a real good push for the playoffs. He's got a nice matchup against the Houston Texans, whose defense have really struggled this year. And as I said, the Colts are on a bit of a roll. So, yeah, I think he's going to have another real big game. He seems to be in the groove. He seems to be carrying momentum through these games and improving. So he's a must start for me. Okay, next up is a must start. The wide receiver position is someone who's a bit of a forgotten wide receiver in the game. And that's Cole Beasley, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills, going up against the Denver Broncos. I think with how much hype there is with Stephon Diggs and him getting double covered on like every play, it's really nice for Cole Beasley just to go about his business. He's always been a reliable receiver. He's always had good hands. And with that, he's getting a lot of targets and catching them. So if you, even if you're in a PPR league, you're going to get fantasy value from him just from him catching the ball. But he has been a lot more dangerous over the last 4 or 5 weeks as a red zone target, and we have seen him haul in a couple of touchdowns. So he's a must start for me this week against the Denver Broncos, who are struggling. Okay, my sit at the wide receiver position this week is KJ Hamler, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, going up against the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a really tough game for the Broncos with how tough the Bills have been over the last few weeks, and I think they're going to have to rely heavily on their bigger names at Denver to stay in this game. So I think it's going to be a quiet day for KJ Hamler. I think he'll still have a nice game, but I just don't think his fantasy value as a starter for you is going to be there against this tough team. Okay, my next sit at the wide receiver position is Danny Amendola going up against the Tennessee Titans. I think we're hearing that they're probably going to go with Chase Daniels to start the game at quarterback. And we're also hearing that Kenny Golladay could return this week. So I think Danny Amendola is probably going to take a bit of a back seat in the receiving game. I think we saw Mohamed Sanu taking a percentage of the snaps last week. So I think all these things are working against Danny Amendola this week in his fantasy value. So he's definitely a sit for me this week going up against the Tennessee Titans, who have been pretty tough to play against. Okay, on to your tight ends. First up, a start for me this week is Eric Ebron, tight end of the Pittsburgh Steelers, going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. As we said at the top of the section, Big Ben is a must start. And with how bad the run game has been at the Steelers, they're using Eric Ebron as a red zone target for those short downs in the red zone. So I think his value in the for touchdowns is going to be massive this week. I think we'll see a lot of targets towards him. He's a big guy. So yeah, he's a definite must start at the tight end position. And my sit at the tight end position this week is Jimmy Graham, tight end for the Chicago Bears, going up against the Minnesota Vikings. Despite catching a touchdown last week, I think it's clear that Cole Kmet is the receiving tight end for this team now. The rookie has shown that he can be reliable, catch the ball, and has been very productive over the last 3 weeks. And we've seen a decline every week in the production of Jimmy Graham at the Bears. So he's indefinite to leave on the bench this week. Okay, that's it for me, guys. Wish you all the best in your playoff games this week. Hope I've done enough to get you to the championship game. And as I always say, if there's any queries with your team personally, hit us up on all the social medias. We'll help you out. We'll get in touch and we'll answer any of those 50-50 questions for you and help you out. Okay, back to you, Fred.
What do you reckon, Fred? What do you reckon, Fred? Usually that's a lot more loud than usual, but I'm trying to be a bit more quiet today, use a bit more inside voice because of my new cat that I told you at the top of the hour. Very, very feline orientated this podcast is today, but she is our little baby and we need a bit of stability. So that's why I'm a little bit more dulcet today. But you can, what do you reckon, Fred? It's my favorite section of the week where you can ask us anything you want to do with the NFL, and I'll try and provide a nice answer for you. You can DM us on social media, the Franchise Tag Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, or Franchise Tag UK on Twitter. You can email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. So we've got one here today, and I'm going to have a little read of it. It says, right, hey, Fred, how are you doing? At the moment, the Steelers are number 2 in the AFC. but it's clear that they're not playing like a true contender at the minute. Which team poses the biggest threat in the AFC to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? So the Chiefs at the minute are number one. Thank you very much for the question, firstly. The Chiefs are the number one seed, probably going to have the first round bye in the AFC. The Steelers are a second, of course. Steelers lost two games back-to-back now to Washington Football Team and Buffalo Bills. I think that's a very sound argument. I think now the Steelers, though our second, are not going to beat the Chiefs. So let's have a look at who is in line in the AFC to go through to the playoffs. You have the Buffalo Bills, the Tennessee Titans, the Cleveland Browns, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Miami Dolphins are all the teams that would go into the playoffs if the season was to end today. In contention is the Baltimore Ravens and the Las Vegas Raiders as well. Now, they've got a very hard task, beating the Chiefs. Any team has got a really, really hard task to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Truth be told, as much as I like this question, I don't think any of these teams can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I really am not sure about if any of these teams would beat the Chiefs in the AFC. Hence why I do believe the Kansas City Chiefs will go to the Super Bowl this year. I mean, individually, let's have a look at Buffalo Bills. I think they would have the minerals to give them a good go. But I think Josh Allen has to be magic. The defense, I don't think, is good enough to stop Patrick Mahomes. I just can't see that. Tennessee Titans, I think, actually have a really good chance because I believe that Derrick Henry can really run on the Kansas City Chiefs. They gave them a really good go in the AFC Championship last year. Their defense, I don't think, is as good as last year, though. So I don't think they're doing that. Cleveland Browns, don't think they're good enough to beat the Chiefs. Defensively, they would probably give Patrick Mahomes a good go. Offensively, I'm not sure if they would have a good go at it. Indianapolis Colts, not got the offense to beat the Chiefs, do have the defense to beat the Chiefs, but Kansas City have a better defense than I think people are really giving credit for. The Miami Dolphins are not good enough to beat the Chiefs. They don't have the dynamicness and they're just simply not good enough to beat the Chiefs on both sides of the ball. The Baltimore Ravens, I think, is a really interesting one. Though they're not currently in playoffs, if it was to end today, I do think they would have a good chance. I think they would have a good chance just because I think their defense is really good and their offense is really dynamic as well. I just don't think they'd have enough on wide receiver. And then you have the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, though the Raiders beat them in the season, I don't think they would beat them in the playoffs. I don't think they'd be good enough to do it. I think the Bills, the Ravens, and the Raiders are really interesting game. If the Raiders hadn't beat them in the season, we would say definitely not. The Chiefs would beat the Raiders. But now that the Raiders have beat them, that becomes a more interesting conversation. I think the Ravens are a really good team that don't get enough as much credit this year because they've not been as shockingly wow on our screen as they were in 2019. But they're still a very good team. I do think the Buffalo Bills are an offense that could beat them. I just don't think the defense is good enough to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So though I really, really enjoy the question, I really like it. If I had to pick one, I would go the Raiders because I've seen it. But that's as much proof as much indication as I could have of who would do it. I'm just not sure. I just think the Kansas City Chiefs are just an elite team in 2020 and will be for a very, very long time. And thank you for the question on what you reckon, Fred. That's the end of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the Franchise Tag podcast this week. Thank you, Andrew, for coming on to do your fantasy football section. I know it's been a bit of a quieter podcast, not as loud, maybe it was exuberant as usual. But I hope you've found the info just as interesting and the conversation is just as interesting. You can listen to our podcast on iTunes Podcasts, where you can leave a rating and a review. And we are also on Spotify as well. Why don't you follow us on social media as well? The Franchise Tag Podcast on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter with the handle Franchise Tag UK. You can check out our website as well, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. You can find our podcast on there as well if you don't have the iTunes podcast or Spotify apps, but that's okay. Anyway, I'm in tier three now. I'm in London, so I'm in tier three. So yeah, I might be a bit miserable not being able to work. And a lot of people in the country are in tier three, but at least the light that we do get is on Sundays where you can just watch all the NFL and not have to worry about work the next day. We are leading very much into the playoffs very soon in the NFL. Every weekend's going to count. And of course, there is that sort of special day that's going to happen next week that I'm sure you're all going to have a great time on. Yes, maybe in your support bubbles or with limited family, but Christmas is only around the corner, and let's keep the upbeat tempo and let's keep happy. We're all in it together. So for the time being, see you later. Thank you for listening. This is the Franchise Tag Podcast. I will see you all next week.